grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter 15, verse 9 says these words, "Abide, or as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." There's a key word in chapter 15 that if we miss out on that word, it's going to have an effect on our lives. There's a word used in John chapter 15, the context being Jesus as the vine and the disciples as the branches. And our reading continues today from last week, and that word is abide. The word abide is used 11 different times in the chapter of 15 in the book of John. And what's significant about that word? Well, we'll get to that moment in just a second. Now, the context of this passage in John chapter 15 is Jesus is there with his disciples, and he has had the Last Supper with them, and he's going on to go give his life for them, to sacrifice his life in love. And so he's giving them different instructions. And in this chapter 15, one of the things that he's teaching them is about the relationship of himself with the disciples. And he uses an analogy of the vine and the branches. This is the last of the I am statements that we read in the book of John, one of seven. And Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And then Jesus goes on to describe the relationship of the vine and the branches. Maybe you've seen our vine that we have here on our property. And if you've done any wine tasting, I know some of you have done some wine tasting recently, you're going to see, at least when the vines are blooming and producing, you're going to see the branches. And it's amazing how quickly they can sprout. And obviously, if you don't have a branch connected to the vine, branch isn't going to do anything at all. And Jesus shows this intimate relationship of himself with the disciples, and it has to do with that word, abiding. Apart from Jesus Christ, we do not produce any love or any fruits. Sometimes as Christians, though, we can make our lives more difficult than they need to be. Well-meaning, we seek to strive in our own strength to give love to other people. And as you know, it can be very difficult to love other people at times, whether it's your children or your spouse or your neighbors or your pastor or anybody else. It can be difficult sometimes, and if we try to strive to love in our own strength, we will find ourselves miserable. Kind of like Hudson Taylor. Anybody remember Hudson Taylor? I've mentioned him before. He's one of my favorite missionaries. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, called by the Lord to go there, and he learned the language, and he went off to China, and he served for many, many years, and he was very passionate about sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For part of his ministry, though, Hudson Taylor was striving, and he was becoming desperate. He was becoming very miserable, because as hard as he tried to serve, he always felt like he could be doing better. He wanted to be more holy, and yet it seemed that as much as he tried, he couldn't achieve that holiness that he desired, and he would strive, and he would strive, and he would strive. He was becoming desperate, discouraged, and despairing, and he describes in a letter to his sister what that was like. Hudson Taylor to his sister, "All the time I felt assured that there was in Christ all I needed, but the practical question was how to get it out. He was rich, truly, but I was poor. He was strong, but I weak. I knew full well that there was in the root, the stem, abundance, but how to get it into my puny little branch was the question. Sins committed appeared but as trifles compared with the sin of unbelief, which was their cause, which could not or would not take God at his word. I prayed for faith, but it came not. What was I to do? When my agony of soul was at its height, a sentence in a letter from dear McCarthy, a friend of his, John McCarthy, was used to remove the scales from my eyes, and the Spirit of God revealed to me the truth of our oneness with Jesus as I had never known it before. But how to get faith strengthened? Not by striving after faith, not by striving after faith, but by resting in the faithful one. As I thought of the vine and the branches, what light the blessed Spirit poured direct into my soul, how great seemed my mistake in having wished to get the sap, the fullness out of him. I saw not only that Jesus would never leave me, but that I was a member of his body. See, you see, Hudson Taylor realized that there was strength in Christ, but he was trying to strive in his own strength to draw out from Christ what he needed for his ministry work, what he needed to show love and the fruits of the Spirit. And I think that can happen for us at times. We know our Lord is wonderful. We know he's died for us and risen for us. But I think there are times when we still try in our own strength to show love to other people. And we can find ourselves being frustrated when we just can't seem to show the love that we desire for that particular individual. And it seems like we're squeezing that last little drop of love that's left inside of us, trying to get it out from ourselves. When we have those moments, it's times like that when we need to remember that key word, abide. Abiding in Christ. You see, it's the love for others that is which stems from Christ himself. If you are trying to rely upon your own strength for love, for peace, for joy, you're going to find yourself miserable and frustrated over and over and over again. But it is relying upon Christ and his love. As it says in John chapter 15, 9, I'll read that verse again. As the Father has loved me, Jesus is speaking these words, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And what does Jesus then say? He says this phrase, abide in my love. Abide in my love. We hear over and over again the message of the cross. No greater love has this than anyone would lay down his life for his friends, and that's what Jesus has done for you. But have we taken an opportunity to rest in that love? We hear this message on Sunday morning. Yes, Jesus died for you and rose for you. But I know for myself, I think I can forget to take that to heart in the middle of the week when things get stressful, when I'm dealing with a lot of different people. It's time for me to remember to abide in Christ's love. Take to heart the reality that in Christ, God has given you the abundance of his love. The creator of the universe, the one, as we read about in the scriptures, as it says, God is love, he is the one who has shown his perfect, amazing, awesome, abundant love to you in a profound way, sacrificing himself for you upon the cross. And he's a living Savior. He's alive. And as the vine, the living vine, we as living branches in Christ are connected, and we have the source of his love. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 reminds us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we have a profound connection with Jesus Christ. You, as a baptized child of God, are made part of Christ. Take that to heart. It is from that foundation, knowing God's perfect love for you, knowing that this perfect God is living for you and by the Holy Spirit in you, that is our basis for showing love to others. Jesus continues, as he says in John chapter 15, verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. If we don't have the starting point of God's love working in our lives, then the idea, the thought of loving others becomes incredibly burdensome. It says, showing love and keeping the commandments, as we had a wonderful opening for Sunday school talking about love, we have this commandment from the Lord to love others. And this commandment to love is a fulfilling of the law. As it says in Romans 13, love
is the fulfillment of the law. I'll read earlier, Romans 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And so that is the basis, God's love for us, and therefore we are able to show love to other people. And this makes sense, because if we are those branches connected to the vine, abiding in Christ's love, we will produce fruit. And I think that's also a comfort for us, especially as we desire to serve the Lord. We desire to serve Him, and maybe we're concerned sometimes. Well, am I serving the Lord? Well, take heart that as a branch connected to the vine, you will produce fruit. That's what happens when the branch is connected to the vine. John chapter 15, verse 5 reminds us, "I am the vine," Jesus says, "you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And those words from Galatians chapter 5 remind us of fruit, which is produced. Galatians chapter 5, 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." So you, as a branch connected to the vine, you will produce fruit. So this is my advice for you today, and this might sound kind of odd at first. Stop trying to save the world. Stop trying to save your family or your friends. Now, does this mean that we don't care, that we don't have concern for the world? Well, of course we have concern for the world. Does that mean you don't have care and concern for your family? Of course you do. Your friends? Of course you do. But we can take upon ourselves this immense burden that's not ours to bear. Remember this, that you're not the savior of the world. Neither am I. You already have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who, as John 3:16 speaks, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This Wednesday, we started our discussion on that book, Joining Jesus on His Mission, and it's a paradigm shift. It's an amazing paradigm shift. So often in the church, we think, well, we have this mission for God. We are going to save the world. The book reminds us, no, that's not the case. It's Jesus' mission. You and I get to join Jesus on his mission. Takes the pressure off, doesn't it? John chapter 15, 16 reminds you, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Hudson Taylor goes on in that letter to his sister, and he talks about the comfort and the joy of being connected with Christ, and also this connection that we have in prayer, knowing that we can come to the Lord in times of difficulty. Hudson Taylor says, "Oh, my dear sister, it is a wonderful thing to be really one with a risen and exalted Savior, to be a member of Christ. Think what it involves. Can Christ be rich and I poor? Can your right hand be rich and the left poor, or your head be well fed while your body starves? Again, think of its bearing on prayer. Could a bank clerk say to a customer, 'It was only your hand that wrote the check, not you,' or 'I cannot pay this sum to your hand, but only to yourself'? No more can your prayers or mine be discredited if offered in the name of Jesus. Not in our own name or for the sake of Jesus merely, but on the ground that we are his members. If we ask anything unscriptural or not in accordance with the will of God, Christ himself could not do that. But if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." What a comfort that we don't strive in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ. And we can be praying for the world. We can be praying for our family and for our friends. I really believe that's a key starting point for evangelism, by the way, is prayer. Lord, this is your mission. How would you have me to join you on the mission that you have? How would you have me to serve as you have called me to do so? Lord, who would you have me to talk to today? How would you have me to show your love to others? This gives us a starting point and a place for serving the Lord with joy, with peace, because we're no longer striving in our own strength and our own efforts, but rather as we abide in Christ, resting in him, then from there we have joy to go forward and to show amazing love to the world. Colossians chapter 1, Paul has this prayer. He says these words, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." Now, as you go forward this week, may you abide. May you rest. May you remain in Christ's love, which he has shown for you. And from that place of rest, of abiding in Christ, may the Lord bless and guide your conversations and your interactions with people, so that as the love of Christ is working in you, you go forward and show love with joy. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guide and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.